Colossians chapter 3, we continue our study today. Desiring God is the title of our study. Desiring God. Last Sunday we talked about that desire and developing that longing. Last Sunday night we talked about having that quiet time, being still and knowing that God is God. Did you practice that this week? Some of you, I can tell, are going to be left behind. The goal of this study is that indeed we know God and know Him more intimately. That's our purpose. Very simple, right? This morning we're looking at Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Turn in your Bibles, please. I love seeing the Bibles. And once we've read, let me encourage you to keep your Bible open. Hold the place, because we will refer to it again throughout the message, okay? And if you're watching at home, I encourage you to do the same thing. Get out your Bible. I want you to hear from God today, not from a preacher. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we just desire to hear from You today. Speak to us, Lord, through Your Word. Lord, we commend this service to You. Pray that You will move freely among us and that Your will be done in the lives of every hearer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, last Sunday we started this study of desiring God and longing God. And today we're going to address some things that get in the way of that desire. You see, when we talk about desiring God and what we focused on last week of being quiet and being still and just appreciating God for being God, those are wonderful times. But that's not where the relationship stops. As a matter of fact, that's where it starts. And when you have that time of quiet time, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. God's going to speak to you. Sometimes He speaks to you and says, go do. And sometimes He says, you need to address this. You need to deal with this sin. This is getting in the way. And so that's what we're doing today, is we're dealing with things that get in the way of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to call your attention to verse 9. Look back in your Bible at verse 9. Where He said, do not lie to one another. Now, our first thought is that as we read that, we think, well, that's just kind of don't tell people untruth. That's really not the intent and the meaning of that. There in verse 9, when He says, don't lie, that word lie, the Greek word is pseudomai. It's where we get pseudo in the English language. And if you've ever heard of pseudo, you know what that means? Right? It means a pretender. One who appears to be something, but is not actually what he appears to be. very closely related to a hypocrite. So what he's actually saying is not just don't tell falsehood. He's saying don't be a fake in your faith. Boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Made me sit up and take notice as I looked at this. And for me to not be a phony in who I say I am, first thing I've got to do is I have to establish boundaries in my life. Now, if you'll notice again, look back at verse 5. Paul said, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. That phrase, put to death, is a very complete and final act that says, this is it. This is actually what we're looking at it today is, it's a boundary. It is drawing a line in the sand, if you will, and saying, okay, I will not cross this line, and I will not allow anybody else to cross this line with me. You see, the problem today is we want Christianity without boundaries. We want God as long as God doesn't interfere with our lives. And that's not the idea of a personal relationship with God. And I often am approached and asked, Brother Doug, it's just why is, you know, I pray, but God just seems to be so distant. And I look, and quite often it's because they've never established boundaries. Says, this is what I will not allow into my life. And that's what Paul is doing here. And he starts with the subject of fornication. Now, you know what fornication is, I'm assuming. It's sex outside of marriage, period. Right? Bible fact. Everybody listen. Young, old. Everybody listen. Bible fact. Sex was created and reserved for the bonds of marriage. Period. Period. So, if you are married and you are having sexual activity outside your marriage, you are committing adultery. Period. If you are not married and you are sexually active, you're still wrong. It's still fornication. God says, do not do that. That's something I've reserved for you and your spouse. You say, Brother Doug, I don't have a spouse. Well, God will give you one in time, right? The point being, we have removed this boundary in churches and our culture today. We look at young men and women, we say, well, it's just natural. Well, it's okay. You want to know why marriages are so hard to keep together today? It's because by the time kids today get married, they've had so many sexual partners, they can't appreciate what it's like to actually live with someone and honor someone with their lives. You see, we've thrown out morality. And we say, oh, but God should still bless me. No, it doesn't work that way. Well, Brother Doug, I know that God loves me. I don't question that. He loves me too. He loves you. As I was growing up as a child of my dad, I never questioned, did my dad love me? But I knew there were some areas I could go down and some things I could do that my dad would not go with me, because he would strongly disagree with that particular life. Same way in your relationship with God. So, Brother Doug, okay, but it's just so prevalent in today's society. How do you deal with it? I'm glad you asked. Okay? You start. Here's how you deal with it. You start with the understanding that you cannot be trusted. We'll say that again. You start with the understanding that you cannot be trusted. And with that understanding, you never allow yourself to be alone and secluded with a person of the opposite sex. Give you an example. I have a standing rule I've had for a long, long time. I will not counsel with a lady by myself when no one else is around. Okay? Will not do it. Will not. Why? Well, number one is because it looks bad. Number two is I don't want to put myself in a position where I've got to say no. Because you know what? I'm human. Preacher, I'm human. I am. And I can be tempted just like any man. So I never want to put myself in a position where I've got to say no. Because if I never get in that position, I will never fall. Does it make sense? Say amen if it makes sense. Yeah, brother, you're a preacher, you know. I'm not a preacher, so no, it doesn't matter. Do not put yourself, guys, don't be alone with a woman. Let me say that again. Guys, don't be alone with a woman. Guys, don't be alone with a woman. I cannot stress to you enough. Don't be alone with a woman. Because she might make a pass at you. Or you might have these thoughts that run through your head that shouldn't be there. Stay away. Don't put yourself in that position. And if you operate under that idea of I can't trust myself, ooh, you'll stay out of a lot of trouble. You say, well, Brother Doug, I would never. I'm married, Brother Doug. I would never, never be unfaithful to my spouse. I'm talking to men and women, right? Turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Number one, I have learned that I never say never. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. You're in your Bible? These are for those folks that say, oh, I'd never do that, Brother Doug. I'd never do that. Verse 17, or chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 9. The heart is what? Deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know whose heart he's talking about there? Yours and mine. And that's the way I've got to look at it, right? He's talking about my heart. I don't want you to look over there and judge those people for what they're doing. Or I want you to look at you. And what this verse says is you cannot trust you. Do not put yourself in that position. Right? I share a statistic with you. Found out, or I was reading this week. Did you know 74% of men, 68% of women admit they'd cheat on their spouse if they were guaranteed they would never get caught? That's a lot, isn't it? Point's this. Okay? Folks, y'all know me. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. With everything that is in me, I want to be faithful with my wife. But I don't want to be put in a situation that's going to challenge my faithfulness toward my wife. That's what I'm challenging you with. Young folks, say, Brother Doug, I'm not married. I know, okay? Don't put yourself in that position where you go drive out to that secluded spot where nobody else is around. Because what it did, it puts you under temptation. What I'm saying, build a boundary. If you're living immorally, you will not be right with God. I'm not preaching at you. I'm sharing with you truth of the Word of God. We've got to build that boundary against fornication. And these first three things deal with sex. Okay? That he mentions there in verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on earth. Fornication, that's the first boundary you build. Second boundary is uncleanness. Sexual things that contaminate the soul. What am I talking about? Friends, there are just things you don't need to see. Don't need to look at. What am I talking? I'm talking about, let's just start with TV. I used to would say, you know, don't watch dirty TV shows. But everything I can find on TV anymore is dirty. I see a man and a woman who aren't married sleeping together. I see two men holding hands and kissing. I don't want to see that stuff. I don't need to see that stuff. Why? Because it contaminates the soul. It'll make me think things I shouldn't think. It will. Oh, Brother Doug, it's just a show. It's not real, you know. And you know, the online porn that so many people are addicted to. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It's feeding your soul. Video games. I'll step on some toes now. Those immoral video games where people shoot at people and heads and bodies explode and blood and guts go everywhere, you don't need to see that. You don't. Brother Doug, it's just a game. Look where it's brought us. Today, we worry about our kids when they go to school, somebody bringing a gun. Listen, when I was in school, I know that was 100 years ago. When I was in school, every teenage boy had a gun in his truck. And none of us ever thought about getting it out and shooting anybody with it. We just thought about going deer hunting after classes for the day. But see, we've moved into this high-tech world that we are now, and we see things on TV. We shoot people on TV and watch their head explode and blood go everywhere. I don't need that. My soul does not need that because it stays with you. You see, you've got to set boundaries. Whether you're talking about online porn, TV shows, or video games, and I know there's some games that are fine, but listen, you better filter what's going in, because what goes in will one of these days come out, I promise you. It will. Deal with the filthy, rotten things. Build that boundary and say, those can't come in. Third thing, passion. Passion. What's passion? It's craving the wrong things. Craving. And it speaks of that state of mind, that sexual state of mind. Have you ever known anybody that all he thinks about, all he talks about is sex? Watching. Anybody that is obsessed with it, watching, always talking, always telling dirty jokes, and every woman he sees, he's got a comment about his desire toward her, which I think is very demeaning and disrespectful toward a woman. A woman walks by and the first thought is, well, I'd like to sleep with her. You need to get right with God. Okay? You see, you've got to set up these boundaries that will not allow you to be controlled by sex. And that's what's happened to our society. We've given our stamp of approval. Well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not. It's destroying lives. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying people. Listen, ladies. If you have a boyfriend that all he thinks about is sex, kick him to the curb. say that again. And the reason I say this is because I've heard young ladies say, make the comment, well, you know, he expects, if I don't, I might lose him. Good! You're better off without him. Build boundaries, young ladies. Because I want to tell you something. Once you give yourself a man to a man, you can never ungive yourself to a man. And when you give yourself away to a man before your marriage, that's something you cannot give to your husband when you are married. And it hurts a marriage. It does. You see, we've got to get control of up here. That's what I'm saying. We've got to get control. That's why I said in verse 2, and that's the idea of this message, is set your mind. We're talking about mind control. Nobody can control your mind except you. You control what you think about. Oh, Brother Doug, I can't control what I think. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. How? Philippians 4:8. Turn over there with me. Let's get out the Word again. What do? Instead of thinking about all that junk that's being peddled in society and culture today, Philippians 4:8, here's what you do. Finally, brethren, look at her close. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I said a while ago, you know, what you put in comes out. I have discovered the more I put God's Word in, the more God's Word comes out. The more I put the world in, whatever form it is, the more the world comes out of me. Guard your soul. Build boundaries. Because, here's the thing, you will never be in a right relationship with God as long as there are no boundaries in your life. You'll be the pseudo-Christian, the fake. You don't really mean what you say. You don't really mean what you pretend to be. That's what Paul's trying to address here. Verse 3, you know, like I say, the first three are sexual things. And I'll be honest with you, I hate preaching on this subject. I am not comfortable. I don't like it. But it is so prevalent, we've got to address it. Build your boundaries. Don't meditate on those things that the world gives you. Okay? Fourth thing. Evil desires. You know what that is, right? That's wanting the wrong things. We're really good, and it's a kind of a general phrase, but we're really good at wanting the wrong things. Do you have that problem? I do. Oh, my goodness. Miss Beth and I are on a diet. We started a couple weeks ago. See, there's one thing that I've allowed in my life that, I'll be honest with you, I like it. It's called sugar. And it's a drug. I don't want a brownie. I want the whole pan of brownies. I don't want candy. I want the whole bag of candy. You know, there used to be an old Lay's potato chip commercial. Nobody can eat just one. Listen, I can't. You put sugar in it, I can't eat just one, whatever it is. Right? I want a lot of it. And here's the problem. I discovered after the first year, I weighed significantly way too much. You see, the desire for the wrong foods has a consequence. And it shows up around my middle. And if I let that go, I know I'm going to have health issues. Right? It's going to cause me health issues. I love sugar too much. And so, what have I done? I've cut off sugar. Now, I'm not saying I won't ever have anything sweet again. So don't point a finger if you ever see me eating a candy bar and say, "Oh, preacher." But I've got to change my appetite and teach myself to like other things other than sugar. Right? I have to. And James chapter 1, verse 15. Here's the reason why. You see, my sin works the same way. See, sin starts with desire, a desire for the wrong things. Verse 15 says, then, in James chapter 1, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? To sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. There's the consequence. You see, sin doesn't just... I've heard people talk about, well, it's just a little bitty sin. There's no such thing. It blows up on you. And it consumes you. The bottom line is the cause of sin, the cause of the things that we've discussed, deal with your desire. And what you allow yourself to desire. Listen, when I go before God, if I go before God and I'm guilty of adultery, I can't go before God. It just, there's a block there, and God said, "You know you can't come to me like this." And conviction moves in, and I can't have that fellowship that I'm talking about. If I'm desiring sinful things, I can't come before God. And please don't misunderstand me. I know none of us are perfect. All right? But I am saying we got to build these boundaries, because if we don't and we allow these things in our life, we are not going to have fellowship with God. And you know, I've tried to explain that to people in the past, and people have said, "Well, brother, who are you to judge me?" I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you the Word from the Bible. If you want to know God, if you desire fellowship with God, you better build boundaries and kick out some things that you allow in your life that get between you and God. You've got to cause yourself to develop a desire for godly instead of the worldly. Finally, covetous. Plain old greed. Always wanting more. You ever do that? That's kind of our culture. And in our text, Paul calls it idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Always wanting more and more, more things, more pleasures, more stuff. Why does he call it idolatry? Because it puts things and stuff before God. Okay? Let's give a test. Symptoms of covetousness. Am I guilty of covetousness? You can identify it pretty quickly. Three easy little phrases. I want, I deserve, and what about me? Those three little phrases. I want. I don't want to sing this song. I want to sing. I don't want this kind of music. I want that kind of music. I don't want an hour sermon. I want a 10-minute sermon. I don't. It's not about you. Best thing ever learned. It's not about me. But that is a sure sign of covetousness. It's that selfish desire. The other thing, I deserve to be happy. You ever heard anybody say that? Or, well, I deserve to be happy. And I hear that a lot in marriages. Well, I've been married to him for 20 years and I've been miserable for 20 years and I deserve to be happy. You should have thought about that before you married him. Because what you're doing now is being selfish and covetousness. No. You don't deserve to be happy. God deserves the glory. It's not about what you deserve. Now mind you, a husband is worth his salt. It's going to do his best to make you happy. I get that, okay? But when that's all you can see is I deserve, or what about me? You see somebody else blessed, and, well, what about me? What about me? What about you? God might just bless you in due time if you learn how to rejoice for the blessing of others. Here's the bottom line. Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24. And this applies to every one of us. Verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If God's not first, you're guilty of covetousness. Period. Period. If you make decisions based on in your life based on what you want, what you think you deserve, God's not first. You see, you can't serve you and God. Say that one more time. You can't serve you and God. And this series is all about God. And being able to go before the throne of God and have that sweet fellowship with God. And that's my desire for you. But we got to deal with the problems. When I was a young man, I was raised on a home place. But you know, a couple years ago, my dad passed away, and of course, he had deeded the small home place farm to us children. And as part of the process of getting the deeds and everything right, you know, we had to do a survey. They got X amount of acres. You know, my brother's got X amount, my sister got X amount, and I got X amount of acres, all equal, right? And so we call for a survey to make everything legal, and the surveyor come out there, and he began to show us where the boundaries were. And you know what happened? If anybody else had told me, I would have argued with them. But he got all the computerized stuff and he bounces off satellites and stuff. And he began to mark out the boundaries. And the boundaries that people had been using for years were not the boundaries. As a matter of fact, you know, we all thought the road in front of Dad's house was the boundary. It's not. It was about 30 or 40 feet back toward the house in the middle of the yard, you know? And we went down on the other side between my brother and I, and my land went way into his woods where I thought, wow, you know, that's not where the boundary's supposed to be. You know what happened? Years ago, I think they probably found the boundary lines, had the boundary lines. But through the course of time, people began to move those boundary lines. Right? They'd build a fence, and instead of building it right here on the boundary like we thought they'd do, they'd move over 5 feet and build a fence. Or they'd go around something and build a fence. They started building the road. They built the road pretty close to the line, and then they'd move it for this and pave it and you know. The boundary never moved. The people moved. God's boundaries have never moved. But I'm sad to tell you, God's people have moved. And we accept things today that 10 years ago we would have never imagined to have accepted. Because we've allowed the world to move our boundaries. Listen, it's time to get back to the old landmarks. Sin is still sin. Right is still right. Wrong is still wrong. It's time that we build back the boundaries. That we set these boundaries in our mind and we refuse to allow these boundaries to be crossed by us or by anyone else in our lives. And until we're willing to take that step, we're not going to be in that relationship that we desire with Jesus Christ. We're going to have a verse of invitation. We're actually going to do like we did last week. We're going to sing two songs. I'm going to ask the staff to come forward and I'm just going to lay this before you. During these two songs, it's time of invitation. And if you feel your need to come to the altar's open as Dale leads us in these songs. If you feel the need for one of the staff to pray with you, grab us and Brother Doug, Brother Michael, Brother Ken, Brother Greg, would you come pray with me? Grab us. We'd love to pray with you. But here's what most people do not get. And I ask for your undivided attention at this point. Most people do not understand the fact that if you're going to be close to God, you're going to have to do business with God. Our Father in heaven, to you be the glory. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your loving word. And Father, we have moved boundaries. We have allowed things that shouldn't be. And we've allowed these things to get in front of our relationship with you. Father, forgive us and bring us back. Father, this morning we want to put you on the throne as the God of our lives. And we want to pray that you glorify your name in this invitation. I commend this service to you and pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.